Hello and welcome to the Entertainment Doc for the week of July 9th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and deep in the heart of Texas, Melissa Hansen.
Hello.
Sorry.
Yeah, I totally missed that, man. You set me all up.
Well. So what has your weekend entertainment looked like?
Last weekend, actually, I got to go to the drive-in with my friend Joanne. Which was fun, but we saw just kind of opposite ends of the spectrum here. We saw Brave.
Yes.
And Rock of Ages.
Oh.
Now, why this was a double bill, I'm not sure. Because most of the big minivans with kids, you know, cleared out after Brave.
Sure.
And the few that stuck around cleared out about 10 minutes into Rock of Ages.
Oh, wow. That bad, but, huh?
Yeah. So, not bad, just not for kids that are watching Brave.
Oh, okay.
Kind of thing. I was not overly impressed with Brave.
Really?
I did not love it. And maybe it's just the way I was watching it. I don't know.
Huh. You
know, I like the voice cast. I don't know. It just kind of left me flat.
Okay.
Rock of Ages was totally fun to watch. And the drive-in was like the perfect place for that.
Really?
Because you could be a little obnoxious and totally sing along with everything.
Okay.
So, yeah, Rock of Ages was totally fun and horribly bad at the same time. It's a bad movie. It's just bad. But so much fun, especially people like me and people who are like 40, you know, because I'm a teenager of the 80s.
Right.
When all the music they used was out. And so I just loved hearing it and singing along. And it's just a fun movie.
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise is just over the top. He's perfect. I mean, and I don't love Tom Cruise. I don't
really
like Tom Cruise, really. But I keep liking him in movies.
Okay.
Like, the most recent Mission Impossible.
Right.
Like, I love that movie, and I loved him in it, and I loved him in this. He was perfect. He plays this big, famous rock star in the 80s that's, like, going on his own.
Okay.
But the real storyline is these young, you know, kids are trying to make it. Singers working in a bar are trying to make it. And their love story and stuff.
Okay.
And Alec Baldwin plays the bar owner, and then Russell Brand plays his, like, assistant.
Okay.
They are excellent. They are hysterically funny in it.
Now, this is a musical, like, Glee is a musical, and that they just kind of break into song?
Yeah, they just kind of break into song.
Okay.
And then it's a play.
Yeah, on Broadway.
Yeah, it's a Broadway play.
Right.
They went, you know, and made a movie out of it and changed the plot a little bit. The deal is, like, so it's these two young kids working this bar. They fall in love, whatever. And then it's also the whole, like, we owe taxes. We don't have enough money. They're going to shut us down.
Okay.
So let's put on a show
kind
of thing. And they get this big Stacey Jacks, this big famous guy. And then Paul Giamatti plays his sleazy manager.
No kidding.
Who, you know, ends up, like, taking the money and, you know, all that. And what I guess they've added in for the movie, because I have not seen the stage play. This would be so much fun to see on stage. But they have the politician and his wife, like, trying to shut them down.
Okay.
So that's added in. I don't know why you really needed that.
Yeah.
But whatever. But yeah, it's the whole, like, in the middle of nowhere, people break into song and dance with these cheesy, horrible Sister Christian and Pour Some Sugar on Me and a bunch of Journey songs.
Oh, my God.
So it's fun. It's not, yeah, most people are going to hate this, but if you love that music like me, it's just fun to watch. Wait for it on, you know, DVD.
Right.
And throw it in your own living room where you can, like, belt it out at the top of your lungs, too.
Huh. Well, I went and saw a movie that completely blew my mind, which was Wes Anderson's Moonrise Kingdom.
Yes, tell us about this.
I've said this before, but nobody makes movies like Wes Anderson. He is such a unique storyteller.
Yes.
And a visual storyteller at that. The movie I saw of his that before this that really got me was The Fantastic Mr. Fox, which was stop motion. This is kind of stop motion in real life. It's such a storybook. I mean, the thing opens and it looks like you're watching a dollhouse with real people inside of it. It's a world unto itself and told in such a unique way that it's mesmerizing. Now, this is going to be a love it or hate it thing, because you either buy into this or you completely, like, what the hell is going on here?
Okay.
But, you know, he has this fantastic cast of players that have, you know, come in and out of his films for a very long time. Bill Murray, Francis McDormand, Bruce Willis is in this one. The kids play a huge role in this film because it's really their story about a boy and a girl. And I don't want to spoil anything because of the way that it evolves. You don't want to ruin the story for anything. But these kids, I don't know how he cast them, but they were absolutely fantastic. It's just, it's a masterpiece in and of itself, and yet another notch in his filmography that I don't even know where he's going to go from here. And how do you top something like this?
Wow, so, that's some praise there.
Yeah. So just completely amazing. And it's an art house film. It's not a mass consumption, you know, it's not going to make box office bank like other things, but it played very well at Cannes. It's going to play extremely well in the bigger multiplexes that do have the art house stuff. And I think it's going to do exceptionally well on DVD. And
yeah, that'll be where a lot of people find it.
Yeah.
Looking at the box office returns this week, it is absolutely no surprise that The Amazing Spider-Man came out on top, although it is somewhat surprising that it didn't do as well as some industry insiders were expecting. And we talked about this last week. I mean, there has not been enough time between Sam Raimi's first three films and this one. And I know there's legal manipulation because, you know, Disney now owns Marvel and Sony still owns the rights to Spider-Man, so they wanted to make sure that they retained the film rights by doing another trilogy. But, okay, that's fine. But you've got to understand that the audience is not overwhelmingly enthused about seeing another Spider-Man movie right now. So it'll do fine. You know, I think it did $300 million worldwide. It did $65 million for the weekend and $140 for the holiday, the extended 4th of July holiday. So it's respectable, but it's not going to make Avengers money. And if that's what they were hoping for, they're going to be sorely disappointed. Coming in at number two was the foul-mouthed Teddy Bear Ted from Seth MacFarlane, pulling in about $33 million. Then Pixar's Brave at $20 million. Oliver Stone's Savages, which was the other new movie this past week, is another victim of the summer. I think audiences are getting wiser to the fact that they're very picky about where they're going to spend their money. And seeing a story about drug runners and more violence is just not playing well to the audience when there's other things that they want to see. I have a feeling it's going to drop. If it's 50% next week, by 3 weeks, that thing's going to be out of the theaters and heading for DVD. Coming in at number five is Magic Mike, which is going to come damn near close to making $100 million by the time it's all said and done. And the other casualty of this week was Katy Perry's Part of Me. And I know Melissa was so excited to share that with everybody and that I was going to be the one that was going to be first in line to see it. But guess what? I didn't go, and neither did anybody else, because it only pulled in $7 million. But to Katie's credit, she doesn't care. You know, she does her art. She loves what she does. And to hell with, you know, what anybody else thinks, love it or hate it, she's doing what she loves to do, and she's making money at it. So good for her. If you're looking forward to next week, don't, because there's not much there.
Nobody wants to compete with Spider-Man, and nobody wants to get on tap before Batman shows up. So
no, it's kind of dead period of the summer.
Yeah, but counter-programming. We get the next Ice Age movie, which has got to be like 4 or 5 or something.
I don't know, 20, 30?
Ice Age Continental Drift.
Okay.
And, hey, you know, these animated films have been doing gangbusters this summer, so.
Yeah, sure, it'll do great.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, because the kids will want to see it because of the voice cast.
Right, and they've seen all the other ones, so.
That adults can, you know, deal with it because it's some stars we like, you know, John Leguizamo and Dennis Leary.
Ray Romano. Yeah.
Yeah, and Lativa, they're all back, so.
Yeah. But that's it. That's all you've got on tap this week.
Yeah, pretty much.
So if you're not going to the box office or you're not going to the movies to see Spider-Man, let's check and see what's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray. If you go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab and go to the cover art gallery for July 10th.
Okay, there's a couple WWE discs coming out, talking about counter-programming.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of music stuff out this week. There's an Eurythmics DVD, well, Rihanna DVD, Julio Iglesias has a DVD coming out, Jimi Hendrix stuff.
There are only three, again, we're in this period where the studios want you to go to the theaters instead of staying home.
Mm-hmm.
There's only three main releases here that could be considered, I guess, top ten. You've got American Reunion.
Right.
Which is kind of the finale of that franchise.
Hopefully.
I could take or leave. I really have no interest. You've got Flowers of War, which is Christian Bale starring in actually a Chinese film.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there's a lot of Christian Bale stuff, you know, ahead of Dark Knight.
Ahead of Batman, yeah.
There's a heck of a lot of Christian Bale stuff. And then you've got a Robert De Niro direct-to-DVD film, and I never thought I'd hear those words.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But it's called Being Flynn, which is kind of a little independent film, which played, I think, the festival circuit for a very short time, and now it's on DVD.
Okay.
I've also got a bunch of vintage 70s Warner Brothers films, Altered States, Coma, Brainstorm.
Coma, that one scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, that's Michael Crichton. But Brainstorm, which was the one that Natalie Wood had just finished before she passed away.
Oh, wow.
The one she was making with Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of history involved in that one. And that is a mind trip film. I saw that on probably on HBO or something as a kid in the 80s. And it's really funky. So
yeah.
If you like that kind of really gritty mind stuff, it's worth checking out. And then we've got some vintage Doctor Who as well, some John Pertwee and Patrick Troughton and stuff. But, yeah, it's just a very mixed bag of not a whole lot.
Yeah.
So let's switch over and see what's coming out on streaming media. Over at Netflix, we've got Breaking Bad Season 4.
Okay.
So if you're catching up on Breaking Bad, which is something that I have not even stuck my toe into yet, that is there for you. Woody Harrelson's Rampart, which got a bunch of critical acclaim during awards season last fall, last winter before the Oscars. We've got the new Titanic miniseries, which I think they did for the BBC, right? We reviewed that for Verdict. And then there's a fascinating little documentary called Something's Gotta Live, which is about a handful of highly influential production designers or art designers for the studios back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Okay.
Three guys who are kind of the last of their breed. These are guys who worked on To Kill a Mockingbird, worked with Hitchcock on Vertigo, The Rear Window and The Birds.
Oh, wow.
It's really important stuff, and it's people you would never know. I mean, you know their work by watching it, but you would never know them otherwise.
Never heard their names.
And their stories are just fascinating. I mean, the one guy was a Japanese-American. His parents were immigrants, but he was born here. Working for Paramount, and was taken out of the studio and put in an internment camp right at the height of his career.
Oh, my gosh.
During World War II.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's interesting.
And then was released and went back to work for the studios again. And he was this amazing artist. He did H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. He designed the whole look of that film. A highly influential sci-fi film. But yeah, it's really sad. And he's gone blind in his old age. It started mid-age. I don't know if it was macular degeneration or what, but he lost his sight.
Oh, no.
And here you have this artist, this amazing artist who cannot see. So it's a fascinating story.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
So check that out on Netflix this week. Over at Hulu, we've got more Criterion, which they keep stacking the deck over there. Louis Malle's critically acclaimed Au Revoir les Enfants, which is about a scandal within a Catholic boarding school in France during World War II. Vittorio De Sica's Umberto D, which is a character story about an elderly man and his dog trying to just survive in post-war Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Akira Kurosawa's Ikiru, which is an aging Japanese bureaucrat who is desperately attempting to rectify his life before he dies from stomach cancer. It's like his final days.
Mm-hmm.
So really heavy-duty stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, not feel-good films by any stretch. And then there's an awesome little anime film that I saw over at Sony at a screening, which it's called Tech on Concrete. So it's two little street orphan boys who's kind of run their neighborhood, and their lives are put in serious jeopardy when the Yakuza, the Japanese mob, attempts to claim the neighborhood as their own. And it's this frenetic, wild, visual audio feast.
Okay. That
I've never seen anything like it. And if you like anime and you're okay with that kind of style, that very hyper-realistic stuff, I highly suggest you check this out because it's a piece of work. Really cool.
Okay.
And then if you like more mainstream stuff, you've got Ashton Kutcher and Tara Reid and The Boss's Daughter.
Oh, yay. I'm excited for Hulu this
yes.
week because Downton Abbey Season 2 is finally available.
Oh.
So that's what I'll be watching this week and probably talking about next weekend.
Nice. Over at Amazon Instant, we've got all the latest DVD and Blu-ray releases as they occur. In terms of TV, what's available this week, they're hitting all the summer TV seasons as they return for their new seasons. So you've got Rizzoli and Isles, you've got Eureka, you've got the new Katie Sackhoff crime drama Longmire, Royal Pains, Pretty Little Liars, and Noah Wiley's Falling Skies.
Okay.
For movies, you've got the entire Back to the Future trilogy, Robert Redford's 3 Days of the Condor, M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong's Unbreakable,
mm-hmm.
and then American Girl McKenna, which is their newest doll, who's a gymnast, just in time for the Olympics.
Oh, well, isn't that convenient?
Yes, yes, yes. So all the little girls are going to be very excited about that.
Yes, they will.
So, all right, I've babbled long enough. I'm handing it over to you.
Okay, TV, again, being summer, not too much exciting. But Monday is part one of a special two-part Fear Factor. A special prize at stake. So you can watch people do disgusting things. And then Tuesday on Fox is the 83rd annual Major League Baseball All-Star Game. And also Tuesday, but on USA, is the new seasons of White Collar and COVID Affairs. And that's about all the excitement for TV. But in music, we've got some country stuff this week. We have Old School New Rules by Hank Williams Jr.
Oh.
Coming out. And then also Uncaged by Zac Brown Band. And I'm excited for this one. Duran Duran's new album, A Diamond in the Mind. And that's actually a live recording.
Oh.
A year or two ago coming out. And then we have soundtracks. We have Ice Age Continental Drift is coming out by John Powell. Did the music for that. And then Stephen Sondheim's Merrily We Roll Along, the Broadway cast recording, is out this week for books. Okay, it's been how long since I've said his name?
James Patterson.
James Patterson has a new book.
Oh, my God.
With Michael Ledwidge. And it's I, Michael Bennett. And the tagline is like, move over, Alex Cross.
Oh,
so it's a new series.
Okay.
From him, you know, that he puts his name on.
Not to interrupt, but have you seen the trailer for Alex Cross?
No, I have not.
It ran before Moonrise Kingdom.
Did it?
Holy crap.
I will go check that out the second we are done recording.
The Morgan Freeman films were good, but
yep,
they
were different than the books.
But this operates on an entirely different level.
Yeah, I think that's the level it should.
Uber intense. And Matthew Fox plays the villain in this.
Yes, and he's like unrecognizable.
Yeah, and he's psychotic.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited for this.
So, yeah, check that out.
Yeah, some of my favorite books, one of my favorite characters. And I'm excited to see Tyler Perry playing him, honestly.
Well, and Cicely Tyson's playing his grandmother, so.
So excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let's get this done.
Okay.
Look at that. Come on. James Carville has a new book with Stan Greenberg. It's The Middle Class, Stupid. And then it's starting, like the DVDs of Christian Bale.
Yeah.
We're getting the Batman books.
Oh, boy.
Oh, let's start off with the one people are more excited about, Batman Earth One.
Okay.
It's by Jeff Johns and Gary Franks, illustrations.
Yeah.
Is out, and it's just a graphic novel.
Right.
But then we're getting stuff like Batmobile, The Complete History.
Oh, brother.
And The Dark Knight Manual, Tools, Weapons, Vehicles, and Documents from the Batcave.
Ugh.
So if you just can't wait to get your Batman fix, you can check out those books this week. But interesting play starting in New York. It's called Lady and the Champ, and it's Jake LaMotta's story.
Oh.
But it's a biographical play, but he's going to be in it.
What?
He's going to be in it, and he is turning 91 this week.
Wow.
But it's going to be stories and videos and song and, like, all kinds of stuff, all about his life. But here's the interesting part. It's his girlfriend who's directing and co-writing it.
Okay.
And she is his soon-to-be seventh wife.
Oh, for crying out loud.
So anyhow, if you are a big fan of his and Raging Bull, you know, his story, you can check that out in New York. It's July 19th through the 29th.
Wow.
So, yeah, something a little different on stage.
Huh.
All right, so what's happening in the crazy world of entertainment this week?
Well, Comic-Con kicks off on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And our own Jim Stewart will be covering the event live for Verdict. Early news coming ahead of that includes Sony's announcement that the new Spider-Man franchise will be a trilogy.
Okay, because we doubted that.
Well, I think they're just making it official.
Yeah.
Speaking official, Peter Jackson announced this past weekend that principal photography on The Hobbit, Parts 1 and 2, has concluded after 266 days of filming.
Did it take him that long to film the other three? Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, I don't remember how long it was, but
yeah, it was a still,
huge commitment.
Wow.
So now all the post-production stuff begins.
Now I have a question. Do people really want to see this? Honestly, I mean, I know some, there are some diehard fans that are just foaming at the mouth for it.
Yeah.
But, like, we had the show. Are we done with this?
I think it's more of a cash grab on New Line's part. I mean,
but that's what I'm saying. Is it going to be a cash grab? Because are people really going to turn out this much after we've seen the trilogy?
I think you'll get the diehard people to turn out. But I don't think the mass public. I mean, I was more than happy with the Rankin Bass animated version.
Yeah.
The Hobbit.
This is going to do gangbusters.
And it's two films. They broke up one story into two pictures.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, but I wouldn't bet on this one.
Yeah. I don't know. Disney is planning a sequel to Hocus Pocus.
Okay, because we need that.
Because that was what? Bette Midler and Kathy and Jimmy.
Yeah, that was like how many years
Sarah
ago?
Jessica Parker. It was the 80s.
Okay.
Of course, none of them are going to be involved in this. It's just going to be a name only.
Right.
And it'll probably be on the Disney Channel, but...
Well, and that's the thing. Everybody who watched it, like, as a little girl is going to go take their kids to see it or, you know, put it on for their kids.
Right.
Just because of the name. You're right.
Yeah. Very weird. The world is mourning the loss of Sheriff Andy Taylor and lawyer Ben Matlock this week as Andy Griffith passed away at the age of 86 from a heart attack here in North Carolina.
Yeah.
You can't argue with the fact that the man was an icon.
Oh, absolutely. And working until...
Oh, yeah.
A few years ago, Brad Paisley did this great song, Waiting on a Woman.
Yeah.
And he's in the video for it.
Oh, no kidding.
It's really sweet. It's got to be on YouTube. Go look that up.
All right.
You know, it's a cute little memorial to him, actually, now. So.
Yeah. We had mentioned Tom Cruise... And, of course, Katie Holmes filed for divorce last week, but Tom is not going to play out his divorce in the media or the L.A. courts.
Which
is means,
surprising.
Yeah, it is surprising, because usually he's pretty tenacious about stuff. But that means Katie's going to get pretty much anything that she wants, and they're doing it all behind closed doors in New York.
Yeah, I'm assuming his only push is going to be joint custody.
Right.
Which he has less of a chance of getting in New York if they can't agree on it.
Yeah. But boy, I tell you, the Scientology faithful are going bananas over this because they are hitting the internet like crazy trying to defend their faith and any slanders that comes their way. And I don't know, it smacks of desperation. It's not like Tom Cruise is the leader of Scientology.
Well, he kind of is.
So he may be the face of it, but...
Right, that's true.
I don't know. The whole thing is very weird. He also turned 50 this week. So
yeah, which is unbelievable.
She's really sticking it to him.
Nice. Right.
Speaking of sticking it to people, paparazzi hunter Alec Baldwin married his yoga instructor girlfriend this past week.
Yes.
No cameramen were harmed during the festivities. But stories are now starting to surface and been confirmed that Alec is seriously considering a run to replace Michael Bloomberg as the mayor of New York.
Oh, I will move to New York to vote for him. Nice.
Oh, and then I've got one last bit of news. Claire Danes and her husband, Hugh Dancy, are pregnant with their first child. And Matthew McConaughey and his wife are expecting their third.
Oh, wow. Well, congrats to them.
So a little up note news there.
Well, that's good. This third one won't be a bastard. Good to know. All right. Well, speaking of bastard children.
Yes.
Our, you know, Kardashian news is Humphrey news again this week. I talked about how his girlfriend was blabbing her mouth about all the things he had said about Kim and whatever. She was going to get hauled into court to testify and blah, 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 blah. Well, now the news is breaking. TMZ is breaking it. She's knocked up.
Oh, no.
Yep. She's 3 months pregnant, which is totally going to ruin Chris's. I was so heartbroken over Kim. I was, you know, banging some chick who looks like her, basically. So we'll see if this ends up being true. And I saw a picture and she looks it. But supposedly they're working on getting back together because, of course, that's the only way he can, like, shut her up. Oh. So anyhow, there may be Chris Humphrey spawn running around in, you know, 6 months or so. We'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for tuning in this week. It's been hot everywhere. I mean, the heat has just kind of been...
Yeah, if you're able to tune in, if you have power.
Yeah.
For all the crazy weird storms that knocked it out for millions of people.
Yeah. But we will be back next week with more excitement and adventure. But until then, Melissa Ann, take it away.
I was never much good at goodbye. And all this could be just a dream, so it seems. I was never much good at goodbye.